Amen. He was far more than just a good man and a good teacher. He was the Savior sent from heaven. And only He can do the saving that is required in a sinner's life. And I'm glad that I know Him tonight. Mark chapter number 3. Let's find our place. If you would stand with us, we'll read our verses again. And we didn't really even make it down to where we really wanted to settle in at. And yet the Lord just really let us start expounding upon this thought. And we're thankful for the help that He gave us this morning. If you know how to pray, I trust that you'll pray for us again tonight. Some things that we feel led to give to you and to preach and to say that we'll need some help from the Lord to be able to say it in the way that it needs to be said. And we're trusting His power will be upon us. Verse number 22, Mark 3, verse 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And He called them unto Him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man, Jesus said, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verse 28 and 29 in particular is where we're lifting our thoughts for the day, where Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Mark adds the addendum and the commentary, if you will, in verse number 30, that all of this was said because they said, He hath an unclean spirit. Appreciate you standing tonight. You can be seated. If you can pray, you pray with us. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we beseech you tonight and beg you tonight and ask you tonight for unction and power one more time to be able to preach what thus saith the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ has made some strong statements in this text that, Lord, we need your power and unction and, Lord, your wisdom to be able to communicate it to these that have gathered tonight within the house of God, those that are listening by way of radio and those that are watching by way of live stream. Lord, there are people under the sound of our voice in ministry tonight that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. They have resisted, Lord. They have resisted the invitation. They, Lord, have been skeptical of the gospel message. And Lord, I pray He, the Holy Ghost, would move again tonight and bring clarity where there's confusion. Lord, I pray that He would bring confirmation, Lord, where there has been doubt. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, a great, great and mighty work would be accomplished, Lord, tonight. Lord, not because we're anything, but that Jesus is everything, and that the gospel and the good news of Christ, death and burial and resurrection, is still the power of God unto salvation. Dear God, I pray, Lord, seem like already in my heart and soul, I feel, Lord, like, Lord, you're going to pick up where we left off this morning. God, I pray it be all to the glory and the name's sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, be all glory unto Him and none unto us. Lord, I pray some sinner, Lord, would see the error of their way, and Lord, see the path of destruction that they're walking down, and that, Lord, they would realize now is the accepted time and today is the day of salvation. Lord, all that you do will give you the glory for it again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We've been studying beginning this morning This set of verses in our overall study of the Gospel of Mark, studying the life of Christ, and in the course of Christ's ministry continuing to grow and expand, we see here another encounter with these that we have labeled who have made themselves the foes of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have resisted Him at every turn and at every move. They have called into question His life and His message. They have downplayed His miracles. They have downplayed and discouraged others from considering Christ to be God manifest in the flesh. And they have set themselves against Him and do again, I would argue tonight in the text, to a greater degree. You see, they're not just questioning Him and what He does on the Sabbath. They're not questioning Him and what He does in eating corn and sitting down with sinners. Now they bring an indictment against Him that in fact He is of the very devil. And what an indictment this is. It is here that Christ teaches the sin that these men are in and that others have been in, that all sin can be forgiven. I'm thankful tonight, and we'll deal with it more and hopefully drive the point home tonight. Amen. Then Christ said, that verily I say unto you, all sin shall be forgiven unto the sons of men. Amen. Now this is not teaching that in the end everything's going to be all right. It's not teaching that in the end God's going to overlook sin in everybody's life. Amen. What He's saying is that if a man will recognize his need of salvation, amen, and by faith turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way, amen, it doesn't matter what he or she has done. Amen. The greatest of sins in the eyes of men, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ offers forgiveness, amen, for all those things that men can do. Amen. And boy, can we not, as mankind, get ourselves in a mess. Amen. Is not mankind, boy, I mean, you go to the jailhouse tonight. Amen. You go to the prison house tonight. Amen. Oh, you just go to the house of God tonight. Amen. And look around and there's so many things we, amen, we would not forgive that. We would not offer pardon to, but amen, the Lord Jesus offers the promise, amen, that there ain't no sin so big that He cannot forgive. Amen. Oh, I feel some preaching coming on tonight. Amen. What we're interested in this evening is that though He says all sin can be forgiven, amen, there is one that Jesus said hath never forgiveness. He said, but he that blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness. And Jesus sends a warning out and says, but is in danger of eternal damnation. And so we find here tonight that the Lord Jesus is dealing with a very serious subject. Amen. After having declared there's no sin so great that I cannot forgive, there's no sin so deep that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ would not reach down and cleanse it, He immediately gives a warning and says, but you better listen. Amen. There is one sin that hath never forgiveness. And that's what we're preaching on this Lord's Day. On the sin that hath never forgiveness. A sin that hath never forgiveness. This has been called by many names and labeled in many ways. The unpardonable sin. Amen. Some have called it the sinning away your day of grace. Others have called this the sin of all sins. And I would not argue against any of those labels that have been put upon this. Amen. The fact of the matter is, Christ simply says, amen, there is a state of sinfulness that a man reaches where he has made his choice. Amen. He has crossed the line. Amen. He, my friend, has resisted. Amen. Unto a point that forgiveness will never come into his life. And so we're preaching on the sin that hath never forgiveness. Amen. What a sobering thought. What a serious matter that lays before us. Again tonight, a sin that I as a human being, you as a human being, amen, could commit that we could never find forgiveness for. Amen, we said this morning that if you're saved, amen, we don't believe saved people could ever commit this sin. Amen, we may grieve the Holy Ghost, we may quench the Spirit of God. Amen, we may even refuse Him and trample underfoot. Amen, the blood of Christ is though it were a common thing. Amen, but we can never be guilty of eternal damnation if we have truly been born again. Amen, and I'm thankful the blood and the saving power of the gospel, my friend, puts a hedge about us. Amen, where we can never commit this sin. Amen, my sins have been forgiven. Amen, Jesus, when He died on the cross, paid for all my sin. And 25 years ago when I got saved, amen, He saved me from all my past sin. He saved me from all my present sin. And His blood covers all my future sin. I'm glad tonight. Thank God I'm so saved. It's pitiful. Amen. You say you want them Baptists that believe in once saved, always saved? No. I want them Bible believers that believe in once saved, always saved. Amen. I'm glad I've got eternal security. Amen. That ain't a license to sin. That's an inspiration. Amen. To live a godly, holy life. Amen. And to desire to please our God. Amen. We can never come into eternal damnation. But if you've never been truly born again, I'm not talking about you said some little prayer years ago. I'm not saying your mama patted you on the head and said you're all right. I'm talking about, my friend, if you have never truly been born again, amen, you can commit such a serious, heinous act, amen, against the Spirit of God, whereby, amen, what you say and how you live and what you do, a Spirit of God would count as a great insult and a blasphemy against His ministry and against His purpose and desire in your life to bring you to Christ. And Jesus said, amen, be careful lest you commit the sin that hath never forgiveness. Amen, amen. And so this morning we began to look in the text and lead us down into this thought. And why is Christ teaching this doctrine? What is this anchored in? Amen, we looked at the pronouncement made about Christ. The pronouncement about Christ in the text in verse 22. And in verse number 30, saying the reason Christ taught this and preached this is because they said He had an unclean spirit. They accused Him of being a Beelzebub. And they accused Him, my friend, of being in league with the prince of the devils, Beelzebub, the lord of the flies, a deity, my friend, of the maggots. Amen, counting the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, to be nothing more than dung in a field. And you imagine saying something so grotesque, amen, about anybody, much less the darling Son of God. Amen, what a statement that they have made. Amen, and according to verse 30, this was the cause, amen, for which Christ gave such a serious warning and teaching concerning the sin that hath never forgiveness. And we looked at the provoking of this pronouncement, amen, being that Christ did cast out a devil the possessed man. According to Matthew's account of this text, we looked at the people in this pronouncement. Amen. It wasn't the drunkards, and it wasn't the harlots and the murderers and the rapists and the sodomites that made this statement. I'm sure they can be guilty of this sin. I know that they can't. Amen. But interesting to me, it was the scribes. Amen. It was those who had been raised in religion. It was those that had had traditional religion passed on to them. And my friend, they were the ones that, amen, had been around the truth, enough truth to see the light, and yet they would not forsake their old way of religion. Amen, that had them doomed and damned to hell. Amen, and so they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, having had received the light, amen, of the Word of God. I won't re-preach all of that. Amen, go back, watch it on our Facebook page. You need it. Amen, and we all need to hear it again. Amen, we looked at the pretense in this pronouncement. Amen, that really what they're saying did not come from, amen, an honest viewpoint that they had. It was Nicodemus that came to Christ in John 3. And Nicodemus said, Rabbi, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Amen. Nicodemus said, we've been talking about you. We have been watching you. And our, amen, our, amen, conclusion is, amen, not that Jesus came from below, amen, but then Christ came from above. Amen. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And so when they say that thou art of Beelzebub, and you can only do this by the power of the devil, my friend, there is pretense in that statement. Amen. They're making up something. They, amen, are making a wrong declaration they themselves do not believe. Amen. As a way to deflect from the conviction that is upon their life. Amen. It's amazing what people say. Amen. Oh, they know they're a sinner. Amen. I'm a preaching to a crowd today. Amen. Far as I know, everybody, if you come to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, amen, more than a handful of times, you know what you're going to learn? Amen. You're going to learn you're a sinner and that you have a great need of a Savior and that Jesus is the only way. Amen. And I'm convinced tonight, not that we're anything. Amen. Not that I'm some great mighty preacher and that this is some perfect church. Amen. And there's enough the Holy Ghost around here. Amen. You can't convince me that, amen, you don't know those things are so tonight. You know it. You may not want to admit it. Amen. You may say things and try to shrug it off. Amen. But in your heart, you know that it's so. Amen. And this crowd knew it was so. And so in their pronouncement, amen, there is a pretense in an attempt somehow to deflect conviction off their life. The pronouncement about Christ, the parable by Christ we ended on this morning, how then the Lord began to give them parables, the Bible said in verse 23. And in this we noted the sensibility of Christ's argument. How in the world could I be of the devil? Or if the devil casts out the devil, then he's divided, his kingdom falls, and then he comes to an end. He would be destroying his own self if I was doing what I'm doing by the power of the devil. That's just a logical, practical statement that brings down, amen, all the walls that they have raised up. Amen, all the ways they're trying to deflect. Amen, do you understand today the gospel is sensible? Amen, do you understand the message? Amen, that Christ, that you and I are sinners and we can never save ourselves. We can never come to God. We've all gone astray. Amen, we've all come from our mother's womb, birthed in sin. Amen, but Jesus came and lived it and lived a perfect life and died and was buried and raised again and ever lives to be our mediator. Do you understand how sensible of an argument that is tonight? You got to work real, real hard to deny that to be the most sensible, logical way of salvation. Amen. Then we ended this morning about went out of our minds on the strength of Christ's authority in this parable, for he speaks of a strong man's house. And that no man can go in and spoil a strong man's house except first there be one that is stronger than the strong man and can go in and bind the strong man and then spoil his goods. Amen. The strong man in the verse is none other than the devil. Amen. Who has possession of this world. Amen. Friend, in this domain, we are living in his kingdom. Thank God Christ came 2,000 years ago. Amen. And he is the stronger strong man. Amen. He proved that in the wilderness when he overcame the temptation of the devil himself. Amen. He has proven that in the miracles that he has done in his earthly life. He proved it in Calvary with, amen, it looked like he was going down in defeat. But little did the devil know the Lord was victoriously fulfilling the plan of God there. And thank God 3 days later up from the grave he arose, saith, amen, proving his strength of his authority over the devil. This matter is applied when a sinner, amen, bound by the chains of sin, amen, bound in the dominion of the devil, amen, under the control of the one who, amen, is their spiritual father, the devil, amen, but Jesus moves in on the inside and through the power of the gospel makes his abode in our life. Amen. He binds the strong man. He breaks the chains. And those things in heaven's pound it. And thank God he offers us freedom from the strong man. Christ is teaching them through this parable that Christ is the only way to be saved. So I didn't learn that growing up. I learned it's through a denomination. I learned that only the priest or the pope could be the vicar of Christ on earth. Amen. I hate to tell you, but you've been lied to. Amen. Jesus has said, amen, there ain't no priest, there ain't no pope, there ain't no preacher, there ain't no Baptist, there ain't no Methodist. Amen. There ain't nobody can do what you need done for you. They are not stronger than the strong man. Yeah? Amen. But I'm glad to tell you again today, amen, Jesus is the stronger, strong man, and he can save you. He's the only one that can. Amen. Let me say a word tonight as we look at verse 28 and verse 29 about the precaution of Christ. In light of what they have pronounced and in light of the parable that Christ has given, notice with me in verse number 29, the Lord pronounces danger. Danger, but is in danger of eternal damnation. The Lord is saying to this crowd, amen, there is danger ahead. He is giving a precaution, a warning. Amen, he's flashing the lights. He's waving the red flag. Amen, as though to say, danger ahead. Amen, change your course. Turn back. Amen, turn from the way that you're going. Amen, he's announcing there is danger ahead. The word danger in this verse, as Christ has used it, it means liable to a condition, penalty, or imputation. It speaks literally of one deserving of and subject to punishment. Now we need to get this right tonight. Are y'all listening? Amen. We better get this right. They ain't a person in the building tonight that does not deserve eternal damnation. Amen. I don't care how many good deeds you've done, how many wafers you've ate, how many times you've had water poured on your head. There ain't a person here tonight that is not deserving of the eternal damnation of God. We all deserve it. We all deserve it. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, amen, if we got what we deserve, every one of us would be in hell tonight with our back broke. Amen. Separated from God. Separated from grace. Separated from any opportunity of any kind of salvation. Amen. We were born into danger. You say, I'm a pretty good feller. You ain't near good enough. You may be good compared to somebody else, but you are bad compared to the law of God. There is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeking after God. There is none that understand it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone their own way, Isaiah 53 declares. And so the fact of the matter is we are born into danger. We are born as one deserving of eternal punishment. Christ, in using this word danger in this text, I believe is putting an exclamation point on it. He is saying not only are you deserving and subject to it, you are coming into a spiritual realm whereby that eternal damnation is likely to be sealed in your life. And though you live 100 more years, there will be no forgiveness for your sin. Yes, sir. And I say tonight, we better heed the warning. Danger. 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 You say, preacher, is it that serious? And you hear the word tonight, danger. Amen. Do you understand if you was driving down a road tonight, amen, and you was doing 100 miles an hour, amen, and you didn't know, but a bridge was out down the way, amen, but somebody else knew where that path was leading. Amen. They would stand there with red lights and red flags, and they would wave signs. Amen. Saying, danger ahead, danger ahead. Amen. If you ignore all the signs and you ignore, amen, the danger, amen, and the turning back, amen, listen, and you go off the bridge, that is your fault, not the Lord Jesus Christ's fault. Danger. The warning here involves, what is this danger? What is the warning that Christ is giving? It involves, listen now, it involves a man's relationship to the ministry of the Spirit as he is revealing Christ and our need of forgiveness for sin. And I say that again, the warning involves a man's relationship to the ministry of the Spirit, as the Spirit of God reveals Christ and our own personal need for forgiveness of sin. Amen. Jesus said of the Spirit of God, He had a ministry of reproving the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And when He would come, He would reprove the world. He would reprove those in the world. Amen. Shining the light on our needs. Shining the light on the judgment that was ahead. Amen. And that is the ministry of the Spirit of God tonight. In every man's life, in every woman's life, in every young person's life. And Jesus, in this precaution and this warning, this sign, amen, this sounding of danger that is ahead, He is warning them about their relationship to the Spirit of God's ministry. Amen. The Spirit of God had been very, very active in the days of Christ. In chapter number 1, amen, and we could go back even before where Mark began, the Spirit of God's the one, amen, that brought the seed of God in the virgin womb of Mary. Amen, it's the Spirit of God that done that. Amen, it's the Spirit of God that overshadowed Mary all the days of her pregnancy. It's the Spirit of God that my friend watched over the darling baby Son of God. Amen, it was the Spirit of God that was active and working in His life. Amen, for all those years in the age of 30 when He was baptized. It was the Spirit of God in Mark chapter number 1 that descended upon the Son of God as a witness, and Jesus was not an ordinary man. Amen. He was not a common man. He was not of the seed of Adam. And He was the Son of God. He was the seed of God. Amen. He was the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Come into the world. The Spirit of God, amen, gave visible evidence that Jesus was who He said He was. Every miracle those scribes ever seen the Lord do. Every soul they watched the Lord save. The Spirit of God said, that's Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation. Amen. Amen. Everything Jesus did, a Holy Ghost can speak in the hearts of men and whisper where, amen, the audible ear cannot even hear, amen, but down in the recesses of the heart, man hears it, and Jesus is the only way. So the Spirit has gave His witness. The Spirit has revealed to the generation of the Lord Jesus Christ their own need of forgiveness for sin. You remember in Mark chapter number 2 when they lowered the crippled man through the roof. Y'all remember what Jesus said to him? Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Buddy, that upset that whole religious outfit. Amen. Those steeped in the traditions of religion. They said, well, who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't be sounding like such a fool. Amen. Now I'm telling you, friend, I'm telling you that, amen, the Spirit of God was witnessing to them. The Spirit of God was telling them in that house that day that Jesus was God. Amen. He was God in the flesh. He was the Son of God and the only Savior that they could ever have to forgive their sin. Amen. I believe the Spirit of God, and now Christ is saying, amen, be careful. There's danger ahead. If you do not, amen, if you allow that relationship with the Spirit of God in your life to spoil, you're in danger of eternal damnation. The words of Christ here are a warning. Y'all still with me? The words of Christ here are a warning that these scribes, though they had not yet crossed the line, were getting ever closer to reaching a spiritual disaster where they would never find forgiveness. Ultimately, their life would end and eternity began as they are brought into eternal damnation. All the spiritual disasters that are going on in our day. The people that ignore the Word of God and the witness of the Holy Ghost. Ignore all the testimonies that He gives. Ignore all the ways that He uses what Christ is doing in the life of others. Amen. To reflect what the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus desires to do in their own life. And they go on ignoring that and trampling underfoot the ministry of the Spirit of God. Amen. Jesus said, hey! You better be careful. You are reaching a point that is to come where you may commit that final sin that hath never forgiveness. Never. Do you understand that? You say, oh, I'll cry. I'll shed some tears. Jesus said, it don't matter how many tears you shed and cry. Amen. You commit that sin. You cross that line. Amen. You allow your eyes to be blinded, your heart and your mind reprobated. It doesn't matter how many tears you cry, how big tears you cry. Amen. How sincere you may be. Jesus said, this sin hath never forgiveness. Never. Thought about that word this morning, how serious of a word that is, never. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7? That crowd that is going to stand before the Lord in all their religious activity, Lord, did we not prophesy in Thy name and do wonderful works, and in Thy name we even cast out devils? Yet, my friend, their sins had never been repented of. Their sins had never been brought by faith in the blood of Christ for cleansing. And Jesus said, in that day, I will look at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Yes,
That word never is a powerful word. Jesus said about men that are wrestling with eternal life and coming to Christ, that he said, now if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It would be better enter the kingdom of God, amen, with one eye missing an eye, amen, than to perish in eternal fire with both of your eyes. He said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. And he's not speaking of human mutilation. He is using those as examples that whatever your excuse is for not coming to Christ, you need to deal with that. You need to get over that, because it would be better for you to deal with that now and come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus rather than to enter into eternal damnation. Now here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, when you do that, when you do not cut out that is in your life, that is causing you to refuse to become a Christian, Jesus said, you are going to a place where the fire shall never be quenched. Never! What an eternal word! What a long time never represents! What an impossibility in that word! Amen. That Jesus is declaring that a man can cross the line into sin whereby he has overstepped his day of grace. And Jesus said, amen, the moment you do that, this is sin that hath never forgiveness. I beg you again tonight, listen. I beg you again tonight to consider. Oh, I plead with you this evening, please, amen, do not commit the sin. Amen, the sin that had never forgiveness. Amen, come to Christ while there's time. Amen, run to Him while you can. Amen, oh, there's not a never tonight. Amen, it's only possibilities. It's only opportunities. Amen, now is the accepted time. Oh, my friend, now, not never. Now, not never. What is this? What is this? We use the term everybody uses, the unpardonable sin. What does it involve? How would a man get to the place that though all sins can be forgiven, he can cross a line in sin and a condition spiritually that he hath never forgiveness? Three things and I'm done. Number one. Consider with me this crowd in this text. They were reluctant to the Spirit's invitation. The first step, we call these three steps to the sin that had never forgiveness. The first step is where a man can get to whereby, amen, it's not that he enters into, amen, the unpardonable sin. It's a step that is leading him there. That is, the gospel invitation is given. A man of God under the unction and the anointing of the Spirit of God, amen, is used of the Holy Ghost to declare a man his need and to show a man his sin and to show a man it's Christ and Christ alone. Amen, it's turn or it's burn, it's heaven or it's hell, and lays it out. Amen, black and white, dogmatically, that there is only one way to be saved. In that moment of time, the Spirit of God extends an invitation, amen, to them, those sinners that are under the sound, amen, of gospel preaching. Amen, oh, ain't you glad for the day? Amen, you heard a divine invitation. Amen, it was more than a man a screaming and a stomping and a running around. Amen, but behind the man's voice, amen, you heard the voice of Almighty God. Amen, you say, who was that? Amen, His name is Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost confirmed all that you were hearing. Amen, and gave an invitation to you personally to come to Christ. I believe these scribes had that happen time and time and time again. I believe when Jesus looks at them in verse 28, And he said, verily I say unto you, all sin shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. I believe, my friend, that was the Holy Ghost speaking through the Lord Jesus and giving them another invitation. And it don't matter how far in sin you've gone. It don't matter how deep you've been stained. It doesn't matter what you've committed. It doesn't matter what you've done or ain't done. If you realize you're a sinner and you realize Jesus is the only way, there is the Spirit of God inviting sinners, amen, to understand Jesus can forgive them of all their sin. All. Say, preacher, you don't know how bad I am. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus said, and the Holy Ghost was smiting the heart of the scribes again with an invitation. Amen. Oh, that they could be forgiven. Amen. As the paralytic had been forgiven. As Levi had been forgiven. As James and John and Andrew and Peter had been forgiven. The Lord was willing to forgive them of all and any of their sin. Amen. The Lord was there. The Spirit of God was making an invitation. Amen. How did the scribes respond? They were like so many of us were when we first heard the invitation. Reluctant. What will people think? Well, if they're saved, they'll think, glory to God, another and got in the family of God. How will people view me? They'll view you the same way that we're all viewed in the eyes of God and the Word of God. Amen. There's another sinner man. There's another sinner lady. Amen. That has come, praise God, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So people will think I'm bad. Let me let you in on something. If you ain't saved tonight, we already think you're bad. We already know you're evil to the core, just like every one of the rest of us. Amen. And so you might as well already know we already thinking it. We're already thinking it. Hey man, you know what your problem is? You think too much of yourself. Hey man, you don't want to view yourself in light of the Word of God and the light that all of us, hey man, are on the same level ground. We're all sinners apart from the grace of God. Amen. They were reluctant. I don't know what all the reluctances were in their life. Maybe it is, if I'm going to get saved, then that means I have to admit that what I've been trusting in has been wrong all along.
Right.
Everybody look up here. If you're trusting anything other than Jesus Christ alone, it is wrong.
Right.
And I love you and I want to be friends with every sinner because Jesus was a friend to sinners. And I cannot water down the message. I cannot compromise. The Word of God is an authority on this. There is only one way of salvation. Some are reluctant to the invitation because that means they must admit what I've been trusting in is wrong. Sometimes it goes even deeper than that. To respond to the invitation means sometimes they've got to admit mom and daddy was wrong. Grandparents were wrong. The church I grew up in was wrong. Say, how do you know you're not wrong? Because that Bible, what I'm preaching you tonight, is coming straight out of the Word of God. We ain't altered it. We ain't changed it. We ain't watered it down. We haven't, amen, conformed it to anything that we... Listen, I wish I could offer maybe a different message tonight that would be more appealing to mankind. But the fact of the matter is, we are sinners, and you've got to admit whatever it is you're trusting in, whatever your background has been, it is wrong, and you will die in your sin, and you will go to hell apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can wad that invitation up spiritually and throw it on the ground. Amen. You can say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to think about that. That's where they had been. That's what Christ has said. Amen. You've been offered forgiveness. Why would you not want forgiveness for your sins? They were reluctant to the Spirit's invitation. I want to say a very serious word, and I want you to listen to me tonight. They were recruiting against the Spirit's influence. You may want to buckle your seatbelt. But Jack, one of the problems that Christ is dealing with when he says, you better be real careful. You're that close being in danger of eternal damnation whereby you have a sin that'll never be forgiven. Why is Christ so dogmatic about this? Well, when you understand the context, and Matthew paints the picture, we looked at it a little bit this morning, and all of this was predicated on Christ casting out an unclean spirit out of a possessed man. When Christ did that, everybody that saw it said, is not this the Son of David? What they are doing, they are giving credence to the witness of the Spirit of God in their own life and before their own eyes. This is the Christ. It's them, the scribes step up and say, oh, no, no, no. Don't say that. Don't believe that. Don't talk about that. Don't get too fanatical now about this Jesus thing. He hath Beelzebub. What are they doing? They are recruiting against the Spirit's influence in the life of others. Now Jesus said, here's what Jesus said about this sin that hath never forgiveness. He said it involves blasphemy. He that shall blaspheme against the Spirit. The word blaspheme means to insult. The phrase blaspheme against means to insult or to speak against. Everybody listening? I tell you what Christ is concerned with and warning about. It was not enough for these men to reject the Spirit themselves. They were actively involved in trying to get others to do the same. When you reach that place in your life that you don't want to respond to the invitation, and you see others beginning to be drawn to it, and began that friend to be interested in it, and you begin to turn their heart away from God, you better listen to this preacher tonight. You're in danger of eternal damnation. Here's what Jesus said in the context of the same event in Matthew's account in Matthew chapter number 12. In Matthew 12, I believe it's verse number 30. Our Lord Jesus said to them after saying, amen, you are in danger of eternal damnation. He said, he that is not with me is against me. And he that is against me scattereth abroad. You know what Jesus was telling them, Gerald? He said, I know what you're up to. It ain't enough you don't want it. It ain't enough for you that you're going to put it off. It ain't enough for you. You're not willing to turn from your sin and find forgiveness. You're going to run around and try to drag everybody you can into your way of thinking. And when it's all over, Jesus said, you'll make people twofold the more child of hell than yourself. I have watched, Brother Jack, I have watched in the years of ministry parents drag their children to hell telling them don't listen to all of that. I've watched siblings influence their brothers and their sisters. When they were done, they so turned the heart of their own family against Christ. Amen. You better listen to me, you're on dangerous ground. If you don't want it and you don't want to believe it and you're not interested and you want to go to hell, that's your business. Jesus said, you better leave my children alone. You better leave the innocent alone. Amen. Don't you dare, amen, be so against me that you're willing to scatter abroad others that want to be saved. Parents do it the way they live in front of their children. Claim the name of Christ and then live like a devil. You know what you're doing? You're recruiting your children to the flames of hell. When you deny the authority of the Word of God and what it says about Christ, and you downplay the doctrines that are so cut and clear and plain in the Word of God, and tell your family and tell your friends and tell those that are around you, and you began to recruit against the Spirit of God's influence in others, Jesus said, danger. Danger! Danger! Jesus spake in another place in his earthly life. He had all them children around him. He said, let me tell y'all something. It'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and cast yourself in the sea than to offend one of these little ones. You know what Jesus was saying? Don't you dare stop what the Spirit of God desires to do in another sinner's life just because you don't want it and you don't agree with it and you can't see it. I told you, buckle your seatbelt. I'm telling you, I'm watching it go on all through our generation. I'm watching parents do it. I'm watching children do it. I'm watching friends influence each other. Amen. And you better be careful, buddy. You better be careful. Amen. If you say you're saved, you say, amen. Especially if you say you're saved. Amen. You better be careful drawing others away from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're lost and you know in your heart you need to be saved, you have no care that the way you're living your life's dragging other people who are lost and undone. You know where that's going to land all of you? In a place called hell, burning together throughout all eternity. You're going to weep and you're going to gnash your teeth and you're going to bite each other throughout all eternity. All because you said, I'll recruit somebody against the Spirit's influence. Amen. It's happening all the time. I watch it happen in church. I watch it happen in church. People that do not know God influence their friends into their way of thinking. And you know where they're all going to wind up? I'm not saying it proud. I'm brokenhearted about it. I'm serious about it. I'm trying to sound the alarm. You know where they all going to wind up in? They all going to wind up in hell. Because they influence each other against the Spirit of God's work in their life. Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Jack. Amen. I'm telling you right. God help us parents. Understand how we live's important. If you ain't with Christ and you're against Christ, Jesus said, if you ain't with me, you're against me. And if you're against me, you scatter abroad. Are you scattering people from Christ or are you bringing people to Christ? Amen. Jesus said, you scattering them? Jesus said, if you're scattering them, hey, if you're scattering them and influencing them away from the work of the Spirit of God and His influence in their life, you better be careful. You may not have crossed the line, but you're getting ever closer, reaching a place and a point where Jesus said you'll have no forgiveness. We give you the last one. Lord, give me a thought here that they were resistant to the Spirit's entreaty. You say, preacher, that's the same thing as being reluctant to the Spirit's invitation. And I know maybe on the surface it seems so. But I want to show you something tonight. The Bible said, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now, again, Jesus does not say they've reached that point. He's saying you're getting closer. Now, what does that mean? That means that when the Spirit of God first came by and gave an invitation, The Spirit of God in grace did not leave them alone. You know what He did? He came back. When you study this text and this passage, Brother Seth, I found it very interesting. The Lord's public ministry in Mark chapter number 3. Now understand, Mark begins at the first year of Christ's ministry. He just gives a few details. And then chapter number 2, we're already chapter 2 and into chapter 3. We're on into his second year of public ministry. Mark 3, in the statement that there is a sin that hath never forgiveness, is 18 months into the public ministry and preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. For 18 months, the Spirit of God said, there He is. For 18 months, the Spirit of God said, that's the Son of God. For 18 months, the Spirit of God said, you're a sinner and you need Him in your life. He's the only way of forgiveness. For 18 months, they said, no. No. Not today. 18 months. They were not only reluctant to the initial invitation, but they were resistant to the Spirit's daily, constant, personal entreating of them to turn from their sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not saying that there's an 18-month deadline. What I'm saying, Miss Mary, is for 18 months, that shows the gracious ministry of the Spirit of God that He kept coming back. He kept letting them see. He kept letting them hear. He kept letting them be exposed to light and to truth and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ for 18 months. Can I say tonight, were it not for a gracious Holy Ghost? Oh, we'd all be in trouble. Ain't you glad? Amen. Now some of you may have got saved the first time. Amen. You understood in the first time you seen, and praise God for that. I didn't. Amen. Listen, I wrestled and I fought and I resisted and I was reluctant, but I'm glad. Amen. You know one of the names for the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Grace. Amen. I'm glad in grace, Brother Jeremy, He came calling. And He came back again and again and again and again and again. But in this, Jesus said, don't kid yourself, He may not always come back. He may not come again. He may not entreat you again. In fact, I believe the sin of blaspheming the Spirit of God. There's some that argue with me. I'm too wore out tonight to fight you. So, amen, don't try to fight me after service. When does a man blaspheme the Holy Ghost? How many of y'all have ever heard somebody give their testimony and make a statement similar to this? When I got saved, I felt as though God said, this is the last time. I've heard people make that statement. You know what I believe? I believe God reveals that to sinners along the way to say, now's the time. I've been fooling with you too long. You've been fooling around with grace and the gospel for too long. And if you don't get it now, you have crossed the line. And in doing so, they insult the Spirit of God to the point the Spirit of God says they have made up their mind. It doesn't matter what I do, what I say, what they see, what they hear. They have made up their mind. They will die without Christ. Can I say tonight, that is a sin that hath never forgiveness. It may be 18 days, 18 months, it may be 18 years only by the Spirit of grace. Amen. Not Jesus. The Lord said in Genesis chapter number 6, verse 3, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. God said in the Old Testament, Jesus is declaring, I believe, the same doctrinal truth. There comes a point in a time where God says, your mind's made up. You have willfully put the blinders on. You have willfully firmed and hardened your heart against the gospel. And God turns a sinner over to a reprobate mind. So how would I know that I committed that? I can't tell you if you've committed that. No more can anybody else in this room tell you you've committed that. Here's what I will say. When you get to that place where you can't even feel the Holy Ghost, you don't even have... You get to the place, here's how Paul worded it in the book of Ephesians, you become past feeling. Preaching don't bother you. Being around God's people don't bother you. The only thing Bible preaching does is agitate you and make you mad. When a person commits this sin, this sinful, gets to this sinful condition where this sin hath never forgiveness, they're not interested in forgiveness. Said, boy, you've scared me to death, preacher. I'm afraid I've committed the sin that hath never forgiveness. If you're concerned about it, you have not gone too far. And if you'll come to Christ tonight, Bryson, did He save you this morning? He'll save you just like He did Bryson. Dylan, God saved you a month ago. Did He save you? You asked Him and He saved you. You know what God would do for another sinner here tonight? If you come to the Lord and you're concerned, He'd save you right now tonight. Man, Devin, God saved you a month and a half ago. June the 15th? 12:30 in the morning. You rolled out of your bed and called on the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved you, didn't He, boy? Amen. Amen. If you're concerned about your soul tonight, you have not committed the sin that hath never forgiveness. If you'll come as these have in even recent days, He'd save you too. We're standing all over the building.